Oh, good morning, and just it's such a blessing and a privilege to be here in New Sterling ARP. I feel like I'm home. I had the privilege of meeting many of you. So I just want to thank Pastor Tim and gracious Judy for this wonderful invitation to come and be with you this morning. And I want to thank you for sending your church team to Biloxi, Mississippi. They blessed us, and they blessed a lot of folks down there. It's just amazing to see God work. And I had a chance to meet 3,745 of His wonderful servants and my best friends who came down there to work in an area that had been just absolutely devastated. And they ministered. And it was just so awesome and wonderful to watch. And I got to do this week after week after week. And I always wished that I could go home with that group and be in their church the very next Sunday when they got back, because they were so full of God's love and the Holy Spirit, they just couldn't wait to get back and tell their family and their friends what they had seen and experienced and how they had worked. Well, today is the closest I'm going to get to that. It's a little bit removed, but to be back in a church that had been to Biloxi, this is my first time, my first opportunity to do that, and I'm just so thankful to be here. It was a blessing to meet the members of your church who came down. I think they were there on two different occasions. And got to know them and work with them, and they blessed me. And my good friend, Lynn Jenkins. I want to tell you, now, this is tell time. I would go and visit them, and they'd be on break. And I hear this. Well, we just sat down, Ken. We've been working hard. Well, Lynn was still in there working. It was so great to meet each one of you. You all were so special to us, and you ministered in such a way that you probably don't realize. But the teams who came blessed us in such a wonderful way. We just thank you for sending them. They blessed us. And it's good to be here today. Thank you for this privilege and this invitation. I'd like to share with you a passage from the Psalms this morning. And I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40, beginning with the first verse. And if you don't mind, I'd like for you, out of reverence to our God, to stand for the reading of His inerrant, infallible word. And this Psalm of David is dealing with faith which perseveres through a trial. Psalm 40, beginning with the first verse. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Father, we just thank you this day that you have raised up an army of servants and of willing servants who come wherever you call. Father, we thank you for the witness and the testimony of your word through David, and of your word through those servants who come to Biloxi, Mississippi, or Harlan, Kentucky, or wherever it might be. Father, be in our worship today. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You have such a beautiful church and such a beautiful community. I'm almost wishing I could move. I grew up not too far away, just down the road in Statesville, and my dad worked for the propane company and sold propane to a lot of the tobacco farmers up in this area, and I understand there aren't too many of them left. I think the government got involved in tobacco like everything else and sort of ruined that for the farmers, but this is still a beautiful country. It's a little bit dry. I noticed as I was driving up through Georgia last week, got up into the Carolinas, and it's even drier, so we'll continue to pray for rain as the crops need a little drink of water. But you might ask, why am I here today? Well, I'm here because I had the wonderful privilege of being in Biloxi, Mississippi with Samaritan's Purse. And the question that I was asked more often than any other was, Ken, how'd you get on staff with Samaritan's Purse? Well, just like anybody else, I began volunteering. And through the grace of God, they needed somebody, and I was available. I had retired already, and I guess they figured I couldn't mess it up too bad, so they asked me if I'd go to Biloxi and sort of look after the work teams that came down there. And I can't tell you what an awesome blessing that was to do that. But on the other hand, I had to look at some of the worst devastation that you can imagine, and I had to meet the homeowners whose lives in just a short period of time, about 6 hours, was turned absolutely upside down. Everything that they had worked for, a lifetime of memories, in just a period of about 6 hours, was gone. And the saddest thing I saw while I was in Biloxi, and I was there for 21 months, I saw the people begin to lose hope. In the beginning, they were just thankful that they were still alive. But in the end, or as the months went on and the days went on, and they began to lose hope, they began to wonder if they would ever be able to get back into any kind of a sense of a normal life. And as you see those people deal with that day after day after day, I'll never forget in the early days after the storm. The storm hit on Monday, August 29th, and I went down on September the 1st, just a few days after it hit. And as you would drive down those streets of Biloxi, and you would see, it was like everybody in the neighborhood was carrying everything that they had out of their house and dumping it out on the street, out on the sidewalk. And a lifetime of memories, pictures and furniture and clothing and carpeting and everything that was inside that house is now piled up high out on the streets where the big dozers would come along and pick it up and haul it off. But it was such a sad thing to see those families carrying those things out in a wheelbarrow. And as they dealt with that severe loss, and you can't imagine it unless you have seen it. I'm sure your team came back here and tried to explain as best they could what it was like to see those things. But if you go to the beach this summer, just imagine as you're driving down Beach Boulevard or Palmetto Boulevard or wherever it might be, just imagine they're 3 and 4 and 5 rows back. All those homes are gone. I mean, just imagine that. And then the homes that are still standing back more inland were flooded with about 6 to 10 feet of water. And that's what those folks dealt with after Hurricane Katrina came through. And Katrina was no lady, I assure you that. She went from Mobile, Alabama, to New Orleans, Louisiana. 140-mile-an-hour winds with a storm surge of 38 feet. And everything in its path was either leveled or flooded. And those folks, in dealing with how they're going to turn their lives or get their lives, which were turned upside down, how they're going to get those lives back to some sense of normalcy, it was just a mind-boggling and an insurmountable task. And there was no way that they could do that. And so the ones who were fortunate were able to get those little FEMA trailers. And when we got there, they were beginning to come in. And now you think about living in a camper for months and months and months and months. And those people endured a severe trial. And I'd call that a trial. And, you know, you can go on and on and on and talk about that and how bad it was and how devastating it was. But the worst thing, I think, for me, was to deal with those homeowners as they really were trying to grasp, why did this happen to me? Why did God let this happen to us? I mean, we were just going about our normal lives, just in a day-to-day routine, and then one morning, the storm showed up out there on the Gulf, and their lives were never the same after that again. And a lot of people asked hard questions after that. You know, why did God let this happen? Why did he let this storm come in and devastate so many godly people? And there were questions. There were questions about the wickedness of Biloxi. Was this God's judgment upon them? And I don't know. I can't speak for God. I don't know what his purposes are. I'm sure one day he'll reveal those to us. But there were a lot of godly people that suffered in that storm just as well. A lot of churches were devastated and some destroyed. Why does God let things like that happen? Well, why does he let any trial come into our lives? And you probably, like me, have had some trials in your life. You know, how do you deal with trials when they come? And trials are no fun. And they always deal with loss and pain and suffering. And when you're going through the trial, you think there's no end to this. I have no answer. And there's no remedy for it. There's no fix. And so I'm at the bottom. I'm going through the valley. And I'm looking up. And the only place I can look to is to God. Well, David knew a little bit about trials, didn't he? David knew some trials in his life. And I heard somebody say one time, I think it was Chuck Swindoll. I like to listen to a lot of my radio preachers. And that's where I get a lot of my material. That's copying. That's not research. He said that God can never really use a man until he's first crushed him. So maybe that's one reason that trials come to us. And David certainly was used by God. But if you think about back about the story of David's life, you remember the first trial really that he had to deal with was King Saul. King Saul tried in every way he could to kill David. And that certainly was a trial. David dealt with that, though, and God honored David's respect for his king, and God honored David, and David was established on the throne and reigned in Israel for 40 years. But that was a trial in dealing with Saul. But then there was another trial that came into his life after he became king, and he committed the sin of adultery and murder against Bathsheba and Uriah. And can you just feel feel David's pain and his distress as he's crying out to God for the little boy which was born to Bathsheba? And you remember for 40 days he was prostrate on the ground before God and he was fasting, he was praying. But God didn't hear his prayer. Well, of course, God heard his prayer, but he didn't answer the prayer in the way that David wanted him to. And the little boy died. And that certainly was a trial in David's life. But maybe the worst trial that David had to deal with was his son Absalom. When Absalom rebelled against his father David and tried to take the kingdom away from David and warred against his father. And when word came to David that Absalom had been killed in the battle, you remember you can just feel David's heart breaking as he cries out, "Absalom, my son, oh my son, Absalom, would that I had died rather than you, Absalom, my son." So David dealt with trial, and he dealt with him in a very painful way. But how did he do that? How did David deal with the trials that the Lord sent to him? Let's look again at our scripture this morning, Psalm 40. And let's see if we can figure out from the scripture passage how David dealt with the trial that came into his life. I waited patiently for the Lord. Wait a minute. Maybe I must be missing something here. Let me go again. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's all David did. Who did the rest? God did the rest. Look at this. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture to consider when you're going through trials. And if you haven't been through too many yet, all I can say is be patient, because you will. This is just a part of this life. The suffering, the trials that come to us are just part of living in a lost and fallen world. But look what God did for David. He heard my cry. He brought me up. It was God who brought David up out of the pit. David didn't climb out. God brought him up out of the miry clay, and he set his feet on a rock. God gracious to do that for David. He established himself. Now, have you gone through a trial and felt like singing? Felt joy in your heart to sing when you're going through this trial? No, you don't. But look what God did for David. He put a new song in my mouth, in my heart. And what that says to me is, in the midst of that suffering, that trial, God reestablished in David's heart the joy that had really been taken away from him. And so that joy was there again, and it comes from God. Whether we're in good times or whether we're in bad times, whether we're mourning or whether we're rejoicing, God is the author and the giver of that joy. Oh, that's so good. That'll preach, won't it? It will. He's put a new song in my heart and in my mouth. And now he says, praise to our God. Praise God for bringing us through the trial, bringing us through whatever it is that comes into our life. We praise him. And because we're able to praise him in the midst of our suffering, many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is a man that makes the Lord his trust. It does not respect the proud. And then look at the praise David just pours out to God. Many, O Lord, are your wonderful works which you have done. I would declare and speak of them. They're more than can be numbered. Isn't God so gracious and so good? In the midst of our worst times, God is there. He's with us. He's standing beside us. And that's a message more than any other we tried to give to the people of Biloxi. Then in the midst of the fact that you've just lost everything, you're still alive. God spared your life. And there were about 238, I think, in Biloxi whose lives were not spared. And all along the Gulf Coast, I think it was 1,700 that the Lord spared. But to those who survived, and as they struggled with the recovery and getting back into their homes and getting back to some sense of a normal life again, all they could do was wait. And waiting is not easy. Waiting is very hard sometimes because it always involves trust. How do you trust God when you let this happen to me? And people question God, don't they? And David questioned God many times. He couldn't understand why the things that happened to him did. But as we've met and talked with so many of the people in Biloxi, we tried to understand and empathize with them through their suffering. We just tried to reinforce to them the fact that God is there. And God has sent these people from New Sterling ARP Church in Stony Point, North Carolina, to come and help you. And so as we see God work, why did he send 3,700 people to Biloxi? And that was SP alone. There were other organizations, and I believe, if only God knows, but I believe there have been more than 100,000 church people who have come to Biloxi. And when you ride up and down those streets, you can see those church vans from all over the country. And why does people come? Because God heard the cry of the people of Biloxi. He said, God heard their cry, and he answered their prayer, and he sent you. And he sent your pastor and his wife and your team. I don't know how many people you had from this church, but it was a good group that came twice. And they served those people down there. And I don't think it was a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences, but they worked on Miss Bernice. I started calling her Bessie. Bernice's house, the same. They twice worked on her house at both times. And I want to tell you, her house was one of the worst that we did. I think you had to prop up the ceiling and the roof in order for it to be safe enough to work inside. That roof was not stable, and it could have come down. But the skill that God called you to come down there with, you fellas knew how to shore that house up and make it safe to work in. And she's very close to being back in that house. I'm not sure she is yet, but God heard the cries of the people of Biloxi, Mississippi. He raised up 100,000 people from all over this nation in Canada to come down there and help restore those homes and to help restore those people's lives. God is able, and he is faithful, and we can trust him to do what he has said he'll do in his will. He'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. And whatever the trial is that comes into our lives, whether it's a tragedy of a personal situation in our family or a loved one or whatever it might be, or a natural disaster that washes away everything, he's able. When you're going through this trial, though, I guess it seems like there's nowhere to turn. Nowhere that we can turn for any kind of help. And the only person we can turn to is our Heavenly Father, isn't it? He is able, and he's there, and he's willing and ready to answer those prayers because he heard their cry. And I think another wonderful thing I think that came out of the ministry of the churches who came to the Gulf Coast was the witness that you left behind. Many will see and fear and come to know God. I have only God knows again. Now, the Billy Graham chaplains, they kept some numbers, and they had a record sometimes of when the chaplains would go out and say, three or four people came to Christ today. And they would total those numbers up and send them in the office in Charlotte. But I think only God knows the powerful testimony and witness of those people who came and worshiped and ministered with their hands and with their tools. We say that on Sundays you worship with your voice, but on Monday you're worshiping with your song and with your hammer. And God, he uses that. And he uses the testimony of each one who came and ministered to a family in Biloxi and Gulfport and New Orleans. He used that to bring glory to himself. And only he knows the number who have come and who have ministered and how many people in the Gulf came to Christ because of the witness and testimony of those who came and served. God got the glory. And we don't understand what his purposes are. He tells us in the Old Testament prophet Nahum, I will have my purpose in the whirlwind, saith the Lord. Whether it was to bring a city to its knees or whether it was to bring one widow to Christ, we don't know. God knows, and his purposes will reveal. We saw volunteers come to Christ in Biloxi. I know a young man who God had been working on him, dealing with him, and he had been resisting. But on one Wednesday evening, he went out to the cross out there in front of the cafeteria. And came to Christ. I remember another volunteer. I went in, and on Saturday morning, his group had left, but he was catching a later flight. And if you remember, you walk into the dorms, and the tile formed a cross. He was on his hands and knees scrubbing that cross so that it would become white again because of his love for his new Savior that he had just come to. Boston, Massachusetts Catholic, who came to Christ as a result of a work team in Biloxi, Mississippi. Just amazing, and we can go on and on and on and tell you about all the miraculous ways that God intervened and worked in the lives of both the volunteers and the people of the homeowners who suffered so badly. But his purposes are fulfilled in whatever tragedy, whatever it is, whatever he brings into your life, he can use it. And he can use it for his glory, and he can use it to bring you closer to him. And if that's what he does, I think I've been told that we're supposed to thank him for that trial. Isn't that hard? Isn't it hard to thank God when we're in the midst of the tragedy? Isn't it hard to praise Him and sing praises and worship Him when we're in the midst of that hard time? Well, I want to remind you that there will be times, and there's going to be a point in your life when you won't have an answer. You won't know which way to turn. And it'll be so devastating that you'll think you're just not going to recover. Well, I want to remind you also that the story of Job. And nothing is going to come to you that hasn't first gone past our Heavenly Father and gotten His okay before the devil or the whirlwind or anything else can bring it and put it in front of you. The God of our fathers, the God who is the author and finisher of our faith, the God who gave His Son for us, is the one who's going to let that storm come into your life, or He's not. So we can trust Him. And I remember so well what Paul said. We count the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory which He will reveal to us. So thank you for singing about Glory Land this morning. And thank you for trusting God, because He is able, and He might not raise up an army to come to your house and fix your house, but I promise you that He's got a church family right here that He's going to bring to your house when you're suffering and when you're hurting and when you need Him. You've got a bunch of prayer warriors that are sitting in this sanctuary this morning who love you, and God's going to use to minister to you if you need it. But when you're going through that difficult time, remember, He is the one that we can trust.